Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
In Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll just be looking at verses 6 through 10 this morning. And you can follow along in your Bibles if you want, or if you want to read in this nice large font. I used to tell myself that I put this nice large font in the bulletin for you. However, if the truth be known, I'm probably putting it in there for me. Just as well. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and faith, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And several years ago, back when I was still in high school, I had a... we called them our aunt and uncle, but they were really just very good friends of my parents. Remember a time in society when you didn't call your elders by their first name? Yeah. If they were just good friends of the family, they were aunt and uncle or whatever. And that's what this couple was. And the lady would go from church to church. And of course, she would go to a church, and it would be just the greatest church that she'd ever been in. And she would go to my mother and tell her, "Oh, Shirley, you've got to go with me to this church. This church has everything." And so she went to this one church, and I won't tell you what denomination it was, but they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God. Let's just put it that way. And they were having Easter morning services, and they had the sunrise service where the youth group made the pancakes, just like here, the youth group made the waffles and everything. Okay, yeah, so, you know, a lot of churches do that. And then they had the morning service, and the pastor got up and he spoke on the myth of Easter. And probably the weight of his message would have been a little bit more believable had it not been for the fact that his wife was so drunk that she kept falling out of her chair. And so she would fall out into the aisle, and the ushers would come and set her back up in the chair, and then he'd be preaching and she'd start giggling, and pretty soon she would, you know, fall out of her chair again. But this man got up and he was using some words that, I mean, we're talking 6 and 7 syllable words here, all right? I mean, he was waxing eloquent. And so I'm sitting next to my mother, who at that time had her master's degree from the University of Michigan, and I was not a linguist by any stretch of the imagination, but I had a pretty good grasp on words. And I lean over to my mother and I said, "He's not saying anything. He's just stringing together all of these big multi-syllable words, but in reality, he's not saying anything." And yet as I looked around the congregation, I guess that's what you would call it. The people were, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, they were in total agreement. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that is so true. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I'm saying, how can you agree with something that doesn't make any sense? I mean, not that it doesn't make any theological sense. It doesn't make any grammatical sense, what the guy is saying. And yet everybody was agreeing with him. And yet, as I grew a little bit older, and I found out that in this particular denomination, they don't want to offend anybody. And so, in their quest not to offend anybody, they prefer not to teach anything. Okay, if you're trying to get to heaven, you're going to make it to heaven. If you're an atheist, that's okay, you can go to heaven too. If you're, of another religion, Hindu or Islam or whatever, that's fine. You too are going to heaven. That's just the type, they didn't want to offend anybody. How many of you know that Jesus offended people? Amen? Sometimes you need to offend people to get their attention. All right? But these people, they didn't want to offend anybody. And it sounds just like what Paul is talking about here in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. There are a lot of people that are going to come along and they're going to start speaking so eloquently, and they're going to throw in a biblical word or a theological word here and there and make it sound like they really know what they're talking about. But in actuality, they're just like that pastor that was up there on Easter Sunday morning speaking about the Easter myth. They're not saying anything. And if you turn your television on, there's some good preaching out there, but there's also an equal amount of people that just aren't saying anything. Well, you're a good person today. You get to go to heaven. You need to feel good about yourself. I got news for you, folks. If you're in sin, you don't need to feel good about yourself. Amen? If you're in sin, whether you're a Christian or not, you ought not to be feeling good about yourself. Because you're breaking God's heart. You need to feel bad about what you're doing and get right with the Lord. And so this isn't anything new. This isn't anything that has come along in the past 50 years or past 100 years. Paul was talking about this 2,000 years ago. And he says, let no one deceive you with their empty words, because it sounds good. Oh, it sounds so good. I've had knocks on the door from people of different religions, and they want to come in and make their little presentations. And sometimes I've allowed them into my house, and what they had to say sounded so good. But it was just so wrong if you knew what the Word of God says. Amen? And so, don't let anybody deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And what Paul is talking about here is actually back in the previous verses, which of course it's only been a couple of months since we've been there, but it talks about all the works of the flesh and lying and killing and all this good stuff. You can't live like the world and get away with it. Paul tells us that because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Folks, one of these days, God's wrath is going to be poured out on this earth. He is only going to put up with this foolishness for so long. Amen? I mean, get on the grace wagon now, because just as God is a God of grace, He also is a God of justice. Amen? And you don't want God's justice in your life. Amen. I am so glad that when I cried out for Jesus to save me, God didn't look down at me with justice or judgment in His heart. He looked down at me with grace and mercy in His heart. Amen. But that isn't always going to be always going to happen. In verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. They've got a different goal in their existence. Our goal is glory. Amen. Now, our path may take many different turns. The path that we walk may split up, and some of us go one way and some of us go together, but that trail comes back together again, and as long as we have our eyes on Jesus, we end up in glory. But not all roads lead to Rome. All right? And that's just a nice way of saying that, not everybody gets to go to heaven just because you're a religious person. You might be the nicest person in the world, but folks, unfortunately, the hell's going to be filled with a lot of nice people. Because the Word of God says, he who hath the Son hath life. He who hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Folks, nice people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ also. Amen? Amen. So don't be partakers with them. Don't jump in with them and say, well, they're nice people, so I'm going to hang out with them anyhow because they're nice people. Now, you don't want to walk that path with them. You don't want to go down that way with them because they have a different goal in mind. How many here ever hitchhiked? Okay, the guys did, the ladies you haven't. That's good, you know. It doesn't matter what the time was in the history of the United States. Girls hitchhiking has always been a bad idea. But if you've hitchhiked, you know, you're out there on the road and I've hitchhiked and somebody stops and you go running up to them and they roll the window down, what's the first word out of your mouth? Where are you going? All right? Because you may be going here and they're going there. You don't want to hop on board with them. You've got two different destinations. Amen? And that's why the Word of God says don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You're going to build a family. You're going to raise children. And how are you going to do that if you're going in two separate destinations? Amen? Okay. So, but then I like, because this is talking about us here. Us today. Verse 8. For you were formerly darkness. Now, your Bibles might say of the darkness or whatever, but in the American Standard says, for you were formerly darkness. How many of you, there isn't anybody that is just naturally born a Christian? The mom and dad might have been the best Christians on the face of this earth. Everybody has to make that decision for themselves. Amen? And so we were formerly born in darkness. As a matter of fact, I think it's quite interesting in the ancient Roman Catholic Church, they considered everybody who hadn't taken, who hadn't been catechized yet, confirmed yet, everybody was demon-possessed. All right, that was just their, the stand that the church makes. And after you've gone through catechism class and after you've had first communion and all that, now you are a member of the church and you're on your way to heaven. But back then, everybody is demon possessed. And verse 8, it says, for you were formerly darkness. That's right. All of us, before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, were part of the kingdom of darkness. We might have been good people, but we were still part of the kingdom of darkness. But, Paul says, and I thank God for all the BUTs in the Word of God, all the buts and all the howevers, amen, but now you are light in the Lord. We're part of the kingdom of light. We are light, amen? That's how we walk. That's how we roll. We are light. And we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now that we have Jesus in our hearts, Paul says, start acting like it. Start walking in it. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. Now, where's Jesus right now? He's in glory. Amen. Who's left behind? We are. We're the body of Christ, so now we're the light of the world. We're the ones that have to carry that torch. We're the ones that have to show the way of salvation. It's up to us. And so Paul says, we don't walk like we walked when we were darkness. I like that. Not when we were in darkness. We were darkness. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, once you leave here today, and I want you to go home and just pray about this. What does it mean to be light? Not to walk in the light. You are light. And there's probably about a week's worth of sermons that I can come up with just that little idea right there. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. All right, if we're light, then what does light do? We do the right thing. What is righteousness? Doing the right thing. Amen? According to the Quran? No. According to all the different books of Hinduism? No. According to a library of law? No. According to the Word of God. Righteousness is doing the right thing according to God's Word. Amen? So we walk as light. And the fruit of the light consists of everything that's good and everything that is righteous and everything that is true. That's what we walk in. When people look at us, that's what our Heavenly Father expects them to see. Everything that is good, everything that is right, and everything that is true. Amen? Well, does that mean that we don't... Well, of course, I can walk in everything that is right because I haven't a care in the world. Don't you know that Brother Dale has no problems in this world? I don't deal with difficulties a day in my life. Is that what that means? No. We still are going to have difficulties. It's just that we react different than the world does, don't we? Because we're children of the light. We are the light. We're of the kingdom of light. And so we don't react the way that the lost do. Amen. And then I like this. Verse 10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to learn. I mean, isn't that like leaving the door open for defeat? Well, I tried, but, you know, I just wasn't able to do it. I couldn't learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, I like, most of you know that my favorite philosopher in this world is Master Yoda from Star Wars. And Master Yoda says, do or do not. Do or do not. There is no try. Okay? Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. There is no try. And so what Paul is not saying is, okay, that's all right. You just do the best you can, and when you fail, that's okay. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, in your world, with the blessings and the abilities that God has given you, you learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And it's going to be different for each of us. Now, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, there was a thief who said to him, Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, Son, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I have a question for you. How much time did that repentant thief have to learn how to serve Jesus? Not much. Probably did a lot of praying in the few moments that he had left in this world. But, he didn't have a whole lot of time. And it's the same way with each of us. We're all in different circumstances. And what Paul is telling us is where you are at with the resources that you have, you learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You learn what is pleasing to the Lord. What's one of the ways of learning what is pleasing to the Lord? Reading His Word. Okay. Jesus said, if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, how are you going to keep His commandments if you don't know His commandments? Well, you know His commandments by reading His Word. All right? All right. So, learn what is pleasing to the Lord. What's another way of learning what is pleasing to the Lord? How about what every one of you are doing today? Come to church. All right, we come to church, we share in our testimonies, we share in our victories, we share in our defeats, and we share in our instruction from God's Word, and we find out what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, you don't have to be a mental giant to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, as most of you know, Terry and I have a little beagle pup. And we have him bell trained. When it's time for him to go potty, he goes to the back door and there are some bells that hang from the doorknob, and he will ring those bells and tell everybody that he wants to go outside. And so we let him outside. But sometimes he doesn't do that because he's just a little puppy. And so sometimes he will make a mess in the house. And when he does that, he will run and hide. Why will he run and hide? Because he knows that he did something that was not pleasing to Terry and I. Now, if a dumb little beagle knows what is pleasing to its masters, do you think we as mature adults can figure out what's pleasing to our master? I think so. All right? So to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, to read His Word. I've had people that I have dealt with that were in a institution. They weren't the brightest bulbs in the pack. Let's just put it that way to be nice and as politically correct as I can. And they belonged to our church, and we would go there and we would have church services. And in the course of events, we found out that these two young ladies were very good friends. They were lovers. Okay? And they didn't know any different. And we said they didn't come from families. They were put in an institution at a very young age. And we sat down and we showed them the Word of God. And they said, oh, we've been sinning. We've been sinning against God. And we said, well, yeah. Well, what can we do? And I said, well, let's pray. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we prayed about it. And then I said, now if you truly do repent of this, this means that you're not going to do it anymore, right? They said, yeah, that's right. And so it's almost an absurd illustration to give you, but you have to have worked with people in this situation, in this condition, to understand they were doing something that almost anybody would know was not acceptable in most conservative Christian settings. But they didn't know. And so once they were lovingly shown the Word of God, then they could make the decision to know what was pleasing to the Lord. Amen? And so guess what? Most of the people out there today, they don't even know what goes on in church. Most of the people in the United States today are unchurched. The statistics over the past 50 years have flip-flopped. And I've had people literally ask me, well, what do you do in church anyhow? What goes on in church? Unfortunately, there are people in our great country that have no idea what God's desire is in their lives. And so, yeah, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We have to assume, don't assume that anybody knows anything. We start from the bottom and we start teaching them the true Word of God. Amen? Not trying, not, well, if I'm successful, I am, but if I give it a try and I don't, no. That's not what that word means. Here it means you just do what you can with what you have. All right? And that's what we need to be doing. So how do we please the Lord? Are we children of darkness or children of light? Children of light. Amen? So we don't walk like children of darkness. We don't live like children of darkness. We live as Jesus, who was the light, who is the light of the world, but now He's left us to live as children of the light. Amen? Amen. Father God.
Comes another day. Time doesn't wait. It doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.